The summer bear encounters are making some Haines residents weary, and moose season starts off bountiful. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Marga Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Some recent bear behavior around Haines may seem bold to residents, but fish and game biologists say bears are just being bears, taking advantage of what food they can find, where they can find it, in a year where the pink salmon were a little harder to come by. The Mud Bay Bruins are being particularly scrappy. One, or perhaps more than one, have attempted to get into some cars, like Carol Tyneman's. Hers was parked and locked at her home at Seven Echoes Homestead recently, when a bear ripped off two door handles and clawed at the tailgate to try to open it.
Yeah, it took off both door handles, and then it also took off, this bear knows what a door is. It wanted to open this. It bent this back. It's already been bent back, but it was bent up to here like a right angle, and the plastic is broken off.
Tyneman said she didn't have any attractants in the car at the time, but she has previously, like most people who have to haul their own trash or haul compost. But it's not just her car the bears are interested in. Tyneman has a windrow at the homestead that she knew might be tempting for some bears, so she enclosed it in an electric fence. But she said the bear is still coming by and making for some sleepless nights.
We're basically now, we have to stay out awake every night and scare the bear away.
Tyneman started asking around and heard, as an even-numbered year, it's a low pink salmon year. The pink run usually fluctuates between odd and even years. She thinks that could account for why bears seem so active in town this year, and why seven bears have been shot by residents trying to deter them from their homes or property. At least four of those deaths are being prosecuted by law enforcement for not being proper defense of life and property shootings, or for not following proper procedure following the shootings. Fish and Game wildlife biologist Stephanie Sell says the strength of the fish run does factor into a bear's behavior, but not as much as people's behavior affects whether a bear becomes a persistent pest.
You know, bears are just trying to find food. They're driven by their stomachs, and they're creatures of habit. So where they find food once, they're going to continue to come back. And unfortunately, a lot of the times, bears are finding easy targets in town, being garbage.
Sell said the cycle she's watched this year in Haines is not out of the ordinary. There are usually a number of bears reported in the early part of the season when they come out of hibernation, hungry and scavenging. But when the fish start running, the bears usually stick to the rivers and streams. Then, during a lull in the fish runs, like about now, bear reports uptick again. Fish and game biologists say they are already seeing a strong coho run returning. That might draw bears back to the water, Sell said, and away from town. But that's not necessarily true if residents don't keep trash and attractants secured. A bear is still going to go for the easy trash can lunch if it knows a good spot, she said.
You know, like I just found food, you know, candy wrappers and, you know, a hamburger in this garbage can. I'm going to remember that. And the bears are going to come back and try to investigate that again. So usually when I get calls about people saying, hey, there was a bear in my garbage and then it came back the next day, that's what's happening is they found food there. They're not dumb. They're like, hey, that was a pretty decent meal, and I'm going to come back and try to find more food.
Tyneman wonders if there's not a stronger connection between the fish runs and bear activity in town.
When you live in the wilderness, which, you know, we really do still, you have to pay attention to everything in the cycle.
But Sell said the bear activity doesn't require more management by fish and game. It requires more vigilance by residents. And a little more on that pink salmon run. The summer purse seine season for pinks has wrapped up. And as Angela Denning Barnes reports, the harvest was better than expected for the seiners.
The state closed the season August 29th. Biologists predicted a harvest of about 22 million fish, but fishermen were able to catch about 32 million. Dan Gray works for the state's Fish and Game Office in Sitka as the management coordinator for Southeast Alaska Salmon Fisheries.
Well, we did great. Coming in almost 10 million over forecast is a good thing.
The pink harvest also topped what federal managers had projected. The National Marine Fisheries Service forecasted around 30 million. Gray says the exact harvest number is about 31.6 million. That's nothing compared to last year's harvest of over 90 million, which was an all-time record. Last year, fishermen were still hauling in pinks well into September. But this year wasn't expected to be the same for a couple of reasons. Pinks run on a 2-year cycle, and this is an even year, which means the numbers are always lower. And last year was just unexpectedly excellent. This year's catch happened mostly in the southern portion of the region. Gray says it probably made up about 70% of the overall harvest in Southeast.
That's kind of interesting in itself, since southern Southeast carried the load last year as well.
Gray says harvests in districts 1 through 4 near Ketchikan and Prince of Wales were excellent, and says harvests on the outside were okay to good. He says they don't know why the pinks were concentrated in the southern areas.
I mean, it's got to be largely environmental. Certainly, we do look at parent year escapement. And, you know, a good parent year escapement bodes well for the return. But, a lot of that is out in the deep blue sea, and we just don't really understand it all that well.
Some seiners have moved on to fall chums, which started August 31st. The state's forecast for next year's pink season will be distributed in December. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
The Skagway Police Department had two important announcements today on its Facebook page. The first is that the department on Wednesday will begin testing the town's new emergency notification system with siren alerts and broadcasted messages. So you might hear those tests going on. The department didn't give a timeline for how long it expects the testing to last. And Tuesday afternoon, the police department also notified residents and business owners through social media that they've had reports of counterfeit bills being used in town, specifically $100 bills. The department asked that any counterfeit money be reported to police immediately. The U.S. Forest Service announced it will remove 10 cabins in Tongass National Forest this week because of lack of use and to save funds. KRBD's Megan Peterson has the report.
10 cabins on the Tongass National Forest will be closed over the next few years due to lack of public use. Carol Goulart is Recreation, Lands, Minerals, Heritage, and Wilderness Staff Officer for the U.S. Forest Service. She says though some cabins are hard to get to or have safety issues, there is one important reason for the removals.
Why are they going? Primarily lack of public interest.
A tight recreational budget also contributes to the closures. Beaver Camp, Big Goat Lake, and Red Alders Cabins in the Ketchikan Ranger District will be removed, as well as McGilvery Cabin in Thorne Bay. In Petersburg, DeBoer Lake and Harvey Lake Cabins will be removed, though the trail between Saltwater and Harvey Lakes will remain open to the public. Four other cabins in Sitka, Wrangell, and Yakutat also will close. They might not be the last, either.
If we continue to get low use or no use on some of these cabins, we're going to be forced to have to probably go through another round of getting rid of some more cabins because we just can't afford to keep them all. If people want to use them and they pay for them, great. But we get a lot of cabin use where people don't pay.
Goulart says cabin fees can range from $30 to $75 a night, and some cabins can accommodate more than a dozen people. But the cost isn't always the issue. It's a changing culture.
And if you think about it, 30, 40 years ago, it was a lot less expensive to go to a cabin. You could hire a plane to take you to a cabin. The fuel wasn't that expensive. Today, there's hardly that many planes around. Local people don't have as many private planes like they did in the past. Those people used to go to the cabins all the time. So the use and the lifestyle of people in Alaska, Southeast Alaska, has changed over the last 20, 30 years.
There will be 139 cabins open on the Tongass National Forest after the 10 cabins are removed. But the loss might not be too noticeable, says Kent Cummings, the Partnership and Public Affairs Staff Officer for the Tongass.
These are the least used cabins on the entire forest. Some of them had gotten to the point where they were falling down, literally. So I don't think there's going to be a big impact.
The cabins will be dismantled or burned on site over the next few years. Goulart says the cabins will be removed and the sites rehabilitated by 2017. This is Megan Peterson reporting.
Moose season only started Monday, but as of Tuesday afternoon, already 3 moose have been taken. All are legal. One moose is 50 plus inches, while 2 fell into the 3 brow tine antler configuration. We'll try to keep you updated on the count throughout the season. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Angela Dennings for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS Local News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan. We also bring you wider-reaching stories from around the region to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained, and we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.